Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, rise and shine. You're on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear, for this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all last week? Oh, we started off Monday, shaking the Monday morning blues, and we started talking about Chance the Rapper not being a part of the scam that this guy used for, remember those two ladies? Oh, the two financial wizards. Oh, yeah, he got a chance to tell them that they had hit the jackpot, and he was paying all the bills. Yes, paid T-Mobile bill, paid mortgages, paid all kind of things. But there was just a little catch to that. He needed to get some restitution. So one sister gave up $8,000, another sister gave up $2,700. And before you knew it, oh my, they were caught up in a scam when they found out that no bills had ultimately been paid. Ooh, how do you get caught up in that? Oh, they say in the Bible, for the love of money is the root of all evil, and that's what happened. Yes. Oh, and don't forget the little types in the kindergarten class who did what? They had the tequila, yes, the Jose Cuervo's tequila, sitting up in the school passing out the little red cup. Oh, my goodness gracious. What are we going to do with the kids when the parents leave this stuff around? I don't know, y'all. I don't know. Well, we could not finish off our morning without our switch tip number 100. Give of your best to the pastor. Well, I added on that part, but give God your best. That's what Shantice's word was for the 100th word of her career. Yep, 100th word of her career. Now, you know, some people say the best is one thing. Some people say the best is other. But, you know, I want to take this to the Ten Commandments. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, do what? Give of your best to the master. Yes, if you love me, keep my commandments. You can't do what you want to do and consider it giving of your best. It don't work like that. I'm so sorry. No, ma'am. No, sir. It doesn't work like that. You know, whenever I hear that verse in my head, I always think about the fact that, you know, sometimes we say, okay, you know what? You have a husband who has a wife, you know, and he gives her everything. Oh, he sends her on a trip around the world. He sends her here. He sends her a fur coat, buys that brand new car. He does all of that stuff. But he doesn't spend any time with her. And she starts crying one day. And he says, listen, babe, I did all of this stuff for you. And he says, well, you know, what you want? And she says, well, I accept all of that, but you did not give me any time. Well, that's God and Jesus. That's the way they feel. That's the way they feel. They feel like, you know what? You can do all these things that you want to do, but if you don't give me your best, if you don't listen to the word that I have in front of me, then guess what? Then guess what? We're going to make sure that we are not going to accept just any old thing. So you don't want to be given your best to the world, to your husband, to your wife, to the children, and then when it comes to God, then you have nothing to offer him. Or you have mediocre, let's put it that way. You have mediocre to offer him, okay? So let's just do what we're supposed to do and make sure that God is always pleased with what we do. Give of your best. Give God your best. So she hit the nail right on the head when she gave that one, because we really got to make sure we take care of God's business, right? All right. Well, let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day. Rolled around, and what did we have? Oh, the 27 years that the woman spent. Oh, my goodness. She spent 27 years, her and her boyfriend at the time, spent 27 years in prison for a crime that they finally figured out that they did not commit. 27 years it took for her to be exonerated, and exactly 27 years it took for her partner at the time to pass away. So he never even got an opportunity. He never even got an opportunity to enjoy the fact that they said he was not guilty. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, we give God thanks that at 74, they did find out that she did not commit the crime. However, that's 27 years, 27 years down the drain. So, you know what? This is why it behooves us to give of our best to the master. Give God your best, because you have no idea what's coming down the pipeline. Nope. You don't know what's coming down. And who knows? Who knows the quality of life that she's going to be able to live now that she's out? But listen, 27 years, you spend 27 years. What? You don't know anything. You don't know anything about this world, do you? Nope. So we kind of stuck there, aren't we? Well. Wow, Wednesday rolled around, y'all. And what did we get? Well, we got another wow story that makes your head spin. 24-year-old mom, 25-year-old dad, 4-week-old baby. And now 4-week-old baby is not here because the baby, unfortunately, was given alcohol to the tune of 4 times the amount of legal drinking for an adult. Oh, mom says that, you know, it first said it came from the breast milk, then it came from dad putting the bottle, the liquor in the bottle. We don't know which one, but the 4-week-old baby did not make it. And, you know, I tell you, the parental skills and, you know, mindset is not where it used to be at all. Well, we had the ladies in the house, and they talked about ways to keep a grateful attitude no matter what. And I love the one that says, don't let anything extinguish your gratitude. Always make sure you give God your best, and nothing will come before you appreciating the things that God has done for you. Can we get an amen? Can we get an amen? Let's talk about never losing appreciation for a gift. You know, we don't know what it took for someone to give a gift. I know sometimes we get a gift and we're like, you know what? They ain't even put no thought behind this thing. But you know what? There are times that they do, and we don't appreciate anything. Well, you want to make sure you keep an attitude of gratitude no matter what. Give God thanks. Give God thanks for every little thing that he does, okay? Because unlike a person who gives a gift and you look at it and you say, well, you know what? They didn't put no thought into this. You know that any gift that God gives you, oh, there's a lot of thought put into that one. We know that, right? All right now. All right. Well, Therapeutic Thursday rolled around, and woo, we did rip from the headlines, and oh, my. I tell you, the stories. What about the grandma-in-law who asked for the six-year-old deaf little girl to stop signing at the table because it was taking her too long to eat her food. Food was getting cold, and she was setting a bad example for the rest of the children at the table. And what about that palette, that eyeshadow palette that got thrown in the garbage by the dad, by the husband, because he said she looked like a streetwalker. Ooh, well, she didn't take too kindly to that, especially after he put it in the garbage. Oh, my. You know, we have to remember that there has to be some compromise. You know, he may not have liked the colors, so why don't you switch it up? You know, you give him his colors a couple of days, you take your colors a couple of days, and, you know, there's some compromise there. You know, what are you going to do? You have to compromise in a relationship. Otherwise, things are not going to go well. Things are not going to go well. On Friday, the men took us out with a sheer bang. Yes. Okay. And I don't know if I want to give you what they talked about. Nah. I think I'm going to send you back to go listen, because that might give you an extra jump in today while we celebrate. Oh, shaking the Monday morning blues. That's where we are. So go back and listen to Friday's episode, because when I tell you it was on point, it was on point. It didn't send us into a weekend. It sent us into a week month. It was really, really excellent. So I don't want to cheat you out of going back and listening to it, because if I try to recap, then, you know, you may get cheated. Okay? All righty. Well, as I said, today we're shaking the Monday morning blues. Yes, we are. And how was your weekend? Oh, busy for me. Busy for me. But thanking God that he brought us safely through a weekend. And how can we say thanks but to make sure we wake up and we give God our best? You know, today is Monday and we're starting a week fresh. So let's make sure we do everything that God wants us to do. How's that? I don't think that's such a bad idea. Have you said your prayer? I hope so. Well, I'm going to give you a break to go take, you know, that quick drop into the kitchen and get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you take some time to let somebody know that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And don't go nowhere, because we'll be right back. Oh, get them pens out. We got some stuff to talk about.
Nearly every hour of every day, one person will lose their life to oral cancer. This year alone, more than 34,000 Americans will be diagnosed. Only half will still be alive in 5 years. Oral cancer is more common than leukemia and kills more people each year than cervical or skin cancer. Tragically, many victims don't even know they're in danger. So tobacco and alcohol increase risk. 25% of those diagnosed have no risk factors. Scientists are learning more about this disease and developing new ways to treat it. But what can you do now to stop the silent killer? Early detection. A quick, painless oral cancer screening takes less than 5 minutes and can save your life. For more information, contact your dentist or visit DeltaDentalNJ.com today.
Well, good morning, and good morning to you again. You're on with the Tea Time with Pastor Steph, and we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Where did the weekend go? Oh, my goodness. It passed by so quickly. But we're grateful to God for enabling us to just get up and do what what he has us to do. So, you know, let's get ourselves together and get them pens up, because guess what? I got a little bit of news for you. You know what I mean? Come on, come on. Let's go. Wow. This morning, we're talking about these, our sleeping. Okay, we're talking about the sleeping. And before we go there, I want to just remind you that, you know, that was a really good notice for the PSA this morning. Go to that dentist. They say oral cancer kills more than leukemia and other cancers in the body. So, I mean, we really got to get that mouth checked out. Can't assume that we're doing well. Okay? So I want to talk about this sleep this morning. These drinks are the best nights, gives you the best night's sleep, okay? We're talking about milk. Oh, yeah, you know, you always see on TV, they go get a cup of milk, and it's like, that's so corny. But, yo, they're saying that milk is on point. Okay, they're saying that it helps you unwind and for the night so you can get ready to go to bed. They say drinking milk may even help to alleviate sleep disturbances. Okay, there's this beverage they say contains tryptophan, which is a precursor to the sleep-regulating hormone melatonin. Okay, so they say not only is a glass of milk before bed a satiating snack that provides you with 13 essential nutrients, but it may also help to improve your sleep quality. Okay, so get that milk in. You know, for those of you who don't like milk, you won't get the best benefit to help get your sleep on. Okay, chamomile tea. Now, you always heard that chamomile tea helps you get your sleep on. Yeah, we do. We always hear that. Okay. So they say chamomile is an herb that contains little daisy-like flowers. And it's great for lowering blood sugar, reducing inflammation, treating cold symptoms, and helping sleep deprivation. Okay. They say there's also some promise that chamomile extract may have anti-insomnia effects as well. So listen, go grab that chamomile tea. Cherry juice. Wow. Remember, I don't look at this list before I give it to you all. Cherry juice. They say it has a lot of health benefits, such as boosting immunity, reducing inflammation, and improving sports performance. So let me give some, you know, cherry juice to that soccer player in the family. They say cherry juice is similar to milk in that it contains high amounts of the melatonin called tryptophan I just talked about, which helps to aid in better sleep. So you know what? They say research surrounding cherry juice and sleep have shown improvements in sleep quality, a decreased number of nighttime awakenings, and increases in total sleep time. Ooh. So we don't have to worry about getting our sleep on, do we? Mm-mm. Not if we drink that cherry juice. All right, next, lavender tea. Now, I know that they say, like, lavender bubble bath and things like that to help you sleep, but I've never even heard of lavender tea. Okay. They say originally lavender was used as a form of aromatherapy, and it had the ability to create like a hypnotic effect that such as mood stabilizers. And they say that they give it to a lot of brand new moms because it'll help them sleep better. Okay. Now they studied lavender tea in Taiwan. Surprise. And it said it elevated the effectiveness of your sleep quality, fatigue, and depression, and in improving maternal infant attachment during the early postpartum period. Wow. They say that they found that women in this experiment seemed to have less fatigue and depression, as well as showed greater bonding with their infant compared with the control group. So when you're giving that gift to the brand new mom at a baby shower, give her some lavender tea. Yeah, she'll probably never think to go get it on her own. And my thing is, you know, go get things that that's going to help than anything else. Okay. All right, so those three things, those three juices, four beverages help with your sleep quality. Milk, chamomile tea, cherry juice, and lavender tea. Okay? Don't say Pastor Steph didn't give you some good stuff. So what are we talking about today in the news? Oh, my goodness. Did I find some stuff to talk about? So, there was a punk dad who went to a drug buy. Now, check this out. He goes to a drug buy in Philadelphia back in 2019. And they believe that he took his 11-month-old child to be the shield for him. In other words, if when the drug deal went by, that if anything went down, they wouldn't shoot at him or wouldn't attack him because he had his 3-year-old son with him. Well, this is what he did. They say back in October of 2019, Mr. Monroe took his son with him to a drug deal with Francesco Ortiz, and he was using counterfeit money in the drug deal. And they say he believed that, you know, again, using his son, you know, when the guy found out, if the guy found out beforehand he could leave or before he left, that there was counterfeit money, that they wouldn't, you know, shoot at him. Well, didn't go so well, because they actually detected that the money was counterfeit and shot up the car and Mr. Monroe was hit in the head, the torso, and the rear of his body. And they say that the child was also hit. But instead of them taking the child to the hospital, they took the baby to the house. And the child, you know, he hung up for a little while, but after a while he lost his life. So they're charging the dad with all kinds of charges, such as recklessly endangering another person and endangering the welfare of a child. The charges against Mr. Ortiz, the one who did the shooting, was attempted murder, aggravated assault, and some other charges. Now, they're looking to up the charges now because the child died. So now they're going to add murder onto both of their charges. And they should. They should. How do you take a baby on a drug buy, hoping that if anything goes wrong, they won't shoot at you? Well, that was wrong. Because Mr. Ortiz, as well as other people, they don't care nothing about no kids. You went up there purposely. You went purposely with counterfeit money. Really? I tell you. You know, come on, y'all. You could do better than that. Come on, come on, come on. You can do a lot better than that. What else are we talking about here? Oh, my goodness gracious. So, again, the children. So, there's a 16-year-old young man who is being accused of stabbing a 16-year-old girl on this side of the fence as they were hitting her and bullying her. She had been going through this bullying for quite some time. And this young man, along with his father standing right there, and some other children, it was a huge melee going on. And they say that during this melee, she was stabbed in the back. And thank God she lived. But here's the dilemma. First of all, he's pleading not guilty. Now, they have this on camera. So, of course, listen, anytime there are people around, somebody got their phone out and they are recording you. So you need to stop saying you didn't do it when you know people got you on camera. They say this teen, the young man gathered with others to approach this young lady and her relatives. Led to a huge fight, and during the melee, the girl was stabbed twice in the back, and the young man ran off with all of his posse and was taken to the hospital to have her injuries treated. So they say that on that Monday, the young boy turned himself in, and his girlfriend was also arrested because she was seen waving a weapon when the fight broke out. And the defense attorney requested that he was released to his family. And the judge said no. You know, he said the use of flagrant racial epithets, he's taking this as a special hate crime, packaged with an allegation of personal use of a deadly weapon and an allegation of personal infliction of great bodily injuries, are going to be attached to the charges of attempted murder and assault with a deadly weapon. If he's found guilty, he's going to receive 17 years in prison. But here's the thing. Thereafter, the family wants the father arrested as well because he was standing right there with the young man when all of this took place. Now, we didn't cover stories of these kids doing things, and the parents drove the getaway car, all kinds of stuff. Well, they're sounding an alarm. They're like, listen, you get him, get the parent, the girlfriend, and anybody else that's involved, but we want the punk father. That is exactly what they said. Get the punk father and arrest him, charge him with the same things that they're charging the son with, because he stood right there, watched his son attack this young lady and did nothing. Yeah. Oh, they're hot. They're hot. They're hot. They're like, what kind of dad stands around and lets his child assault another young person and stab her in the back? Listen, you knew he had a knife. You know what they always say about knife-involved crimes? They always say it's personal. Why? Because you have to get right up on them in order to attack. And it's not like a gun. You could, you know, I watched this first 48 episode. From one block to the next block, a bullet hit. From one end of the block to the other end of the block, based on the type of weapon this person had. And they're saying it's not like that when you use a knife. So when the father was standing right there, oh, he knew. He knew. He knew that this kid had a knife. So I agree with them. Go get the father. So the terminology is, let's go after this punk. The father is a punk as well. So come on. I agree. I agree. You went there. You went there with the intent of hurting her. And listen, anytime they catch the girlfriend with a weapon, you know he went there with one. Parties involved, especially the dad. All right, I got another story. And this one is like, this is crazy. This is one crazy, unexpected, story here. This was a really sad story. Well, there's a story of a North Carolina state trooper. So he pulls over a person on a traffic stop. And while he was detaining the traffic, while he was detaining the individual, another state trooper comes to the scene of the crime. And they say that this the weather wasn't the best. And the state trooper who was coming onto the scene lost control. And he hit the state trooper and the person he was detaining and killed him. So one state trooper, mistakenly losing control of the car, struck the other state trooper and the gentleman he was detaining. But here's why this is so, so sad. It was his brother. Imagine. His brother. So now this family is dealing with a double loss. Well, you know, I say a double loss because, of course, you're gonna mourn the loss of the state trooper. His name, they had names that were similar. James. James is the one who struck John. John was the one who was detaining the gentleman and had the guy, you know, holding him. And I don't know why another state trooper was called. They don't say why, but they say that due to weather conditions that he lost control and struck. And like I said, it's a double whammy because you're going to have to deal with not only losing one, John, who was killed, but now you got to help James because he's going to forever remember that he struck his brother and killed him by accident. And now what happens? Well, what happens is he's going to have to go to therapy and all kind of things. So I thought that was one of the saddest stories I've ever heard. Yeah, really bad. One of the saddest stories I've ever heard. And now they've gathered to mourn the death of one state trooper, and they're kind of, you know, watching the other state trooper deteriorate. Yeah, they say he's taking it extremely hard. Of course, if his brother was struck just to, you know, just and killed, he would, you know, he would have lost a brother. But now to know that you were the one that hit him, oh, man. Oh, man. Family's dealing with a double whammy. Family's dealing with a double whammy. Yeah, so we got to, you know, we got to just think about all the things that God saves us from, you know? So, All right, I got one more story. I got one more story. And this is our wow story of the morning. Just, you know, okay, so we have this mom, 41-year-old Florida mom. Her name is Anaya Smith. Now, I know, you know, people say we assume things, but Anaya Smith, the name Anaya does not ring the other side of the fence to me. So Miss Anaya Smith has been accused of calling her son's school, Coco High School, and saying this. I got to read you. If you don't start feeding my MFing children better at that B, I'm going to come around that B and blow that MFer up. That's voicemail that was left on the school's side. When look at caller ID, y'all. Come on. Because now she's saying it wasn't her. But they're saying the caller ID came through, it was her. You mean to tell me you were leaving that kind of message on the phone and you didn't think they were going to be able to track who you were? They say not only that, they knew from voice, the caller ID, but they know her voice. The parent who talks a lot in the school, she's always up there complaining. So they knew. So now mom is being charged. So they're saying all the administration is shocked because, you know, they didn't think that she would be capable of this. And, you know, she's saying, that's not me. I don't talk like that. They got your call ID, girl. You need to go sit down because you are going down with one of the dumbest parents, dumbest criminals that ever lived. So what happened was, why she was so upset, their son came home and said that he got into an argument with the cafeteria worker over the food portions given the same day as the voicemail. And that's another reason why they were able to track who it was, because no one else had an altercation with the cafeteria staff. So let's play this back. Your son goes to school. There's an altercation about how much, how much food this child's been given. And then they get a bomb threat. By her saying, I'm going to blow for us, that's a bomb threat. But now that's what she's being charged with. Being charged with threatening to blow up the school. Oh, y'all, come on, come on, come on. How stupid could you be? I don't know. I don't know. Y'all gonna have to help me. You know, you always get to a point where you gotta help pass the stuff. Because I'm telling you, some of these people are just so dumb. So dumb. Let's talk to our Pastor Charlene. Let's see what she got to say. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you this morning, my dear?
Well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Doing well, thank you.
Okay. Well, we got some stuff to talk about. First of all, what's our first story? Okay, the first story is about the guy who takes an 11-month-old child on a drug buy, thinking that that's going to deter the opposite side from killing him or attacking him when he went to the drug buy with counterfeit money. Really? Come
that's
on,
crazy.
Pastor Charlene. Come on.
So did he really think? Did he really think that they weren't going to shoot up his family? Because they, when they come after you, they don't care about nobody. You know, when you do, when you cross them, they going to take everybody out.
Absolutely.
If the dog is there,
absolutely,
they shoot the dog, the cat, everybody.
Absolutely. And that's what happened a couple of one of our other stories last week, I believe, where the guy was charged with killing the family and killing the family. They charged him with killing the family dog. So like you said, they don't, when they ready to kill, they don't care. And that was his family. So why would somebody care in a drug buy? But Pastor Charlene,
mm-hmm,
shot up the car right there. Right
mm-hmm
there.
Mm-hmm.
So let him get away.
I don't know why. Exactly. So I don't know why he even thought that, you know, because you, first of all, you giving them counterfeit money. So you didn't think that they were smart enough to know that, you know, that it wasn't going to be real money, because after a while, you know, they're going to check it. And so now you probably came back again. You might have got away with it the first time, but you probably came back again. So they was waiting for you, and they didn't care. They wasn't going to let you leave.
Absolutely. And they didn't. They didn't. They shot up the car. He got hit in the head and the torso and his back. And amazingly, he wasn't killed. Good. Now you can go down for the crime. You could go to jail,
mm-hmm,
too.
Absolutely. And they need to lock him up. Yeah, and add on more charges for him being stupid. Oh, you're not supposed to say stupid. I'm sorry. But, you know, crazy. And
absolutely.
Yeah, I feel sad for him. And then what you going to tell his mama?
Right, right. And that might be why, remember they said that the child wasn't driven to the hospital, was driven to the house. So why wouldn't you take the kids to the hospital? That is another charge. That's one of the reasons why you need to be charged with murder, because why wouldn't you take the child to the hospital? They can't do nothing for the kid at home. I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't want to hear nothing about he panicked either, Pastor Charlotte. I don't want to hear that either. Oh, he panicked. He took the kid to the house. For what?
Mm-hmm.
Evade something.
Yeah.
You know what? Avoid something, I should say. Oh, all right, Pastor Charlene. They got, let's go after this punk parent and this punk all together when he stood by and allowed his son to stab this girl in the back 2 times. Do you think the father should be charged?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely, because you taught your son that. For you to stand there, you was probably coaching. So, because evidently, you know, he didn't have no kind of fear, even in front of his own father, you know, that it was wrong. Yeah. So you had to tell him something, teach him something. So, yes, he needs to get charged as well. And he also, I applaud the judge for making that charge, even for the boy and the girlfriend and whoever else is involved. Y'all, I would want everybody, get everybody, whoever's on camera, get them all. Only thing is the father didn't pull his weapon out, but who said he didn't have one in his pocket?
You never know. And that's one of the, you hit something, Pastor Charlene, and that was one of the things that the parents are and the family is going after. Why they're going after his father, because they say that it's a hate crime, and this kid had to be taught hate because he wouldn't have just known hate on his own. So that's why they're saying he needs to be charged as well, because not only did you stand there, but you were the one who taught him the hate. So you know what? Eat that too. You hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what their complaint is. Exactly what their complaint is. All right. So you have the case of the brothers, you know, where, you know, one of the brothers, you know, he's already detaining someone who he stopped in a traffic charge, and now his brother comes to the scene and loses control of the car. Both of the people that were struck died, the detainee as well as the trooper. They both died. They both lost their life.
Wow. So sad. You know, sad of the brother that got killed, even the one that he was holding, both of them and their family. But that brother will never be the same. Ever.
No.
He will need so much support. And then what's, a lot of times tragedy, even though it's, you know, it wasn't his fault, you know, it was the weather, as you stated, you know, bad weather, he couldn't see. But now it takes a turn between the family, because people
absolutely
are going to, you know, separate. You know, they're going to blame him. You're going to have some that's going to be understanding, you know, but you should have known better, you know, and he will never be the same. He, you know, just his mental health alone is going to destroy him, because he will always have that guilt. He will always have that
absolutely
guilt. It will take a lot of therapy, a lot of love from, you know, people around him, just for him to function. Because I can't even imagine how, you know, he felt, first of all, hitting somebody, well, killing two people,
mm-hmm,
and then to find
right
out it's your own blood. Wow.
Yeah, his brother. Definitely, definitely. All right, Pastor Charlene. Come on, what you gonna say to Miss Anaya Smith, who's mad because they didn't give her child food, more food, and you gonna call cussing and threatening to blow up the school, and you thought that that was gonna be taken how? Well, now whether she realized it or not, she's in jail, being held for a bomb threat over the portion of food, Pastor Charlene. Oh my gosh, I can't.
She mad because they didn't feed her kid enough food, so now she got to feed him, so now she can't get her nails done.
Oh, you know what? You stupid. You are stupid. Oh my
her
goodness.
Hair done. So now she mad. Because she was depending on them to take care so he would not be coming home hungry. So she mad.
Yeah. this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous to even call a school and even say something like that. You know, I mean, what more do you want? What more do you want? She
getting
exactly what she got.
Absolutely. And once again, what are we teaching our children? What are we teaching our children?
Absolutely.
What are we, you know, all these things that we're doing in front of them and then allowing them to do, all you're doing is creating monsters because they want to do it. You know, and, you know, and how did you think that you wasn't going to get caught? Like you said, caller ID is on everybody's phone. So you really didn't think so? And then you coming up in there screaming and hollering all the time, you didn't think that they was going to find you? And you're going to say, oh, it wasn't me? Okay, play it back. Hit the voicemail and play it back. Girl, go sit down. They should have got her. Yeah, that is a threat.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
They should get her.
You thought that, you thought that that was not going to be taken seriously or wasn't going to be taken at that level. Once you said, I'm going to blow that MF up, you were done. You were done.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why you didn't think that they were going to have caller ID past Charlotte, because they have to protect the schools. So you don't know what kind of safeguards, you know what I'm saying, that the school is actually going to have. So, of course, like you said, caller ID is on everybody's phone. That's what I'm like. Really stupid. You didn't even have enough sense to even try to block the call. Well, you know, you went to what kind of example are we showing our children? You already know that he's coming from, you know, a bad place when he was the one in there arguing with the teacher. I mean, with the cafeteria lady about the portion. You already
know. Right,
because
he's doing
people.
What his mother do.
Absolutely. So ain't no way in the world you going to say that, and he's the only one in there arguing about portions of food, and then you call the same day? I mean, come on, Pastor Sean. You got to get your stuff together. You can't be the dumbest criminal walking around. And, again, why you on our side of the fence, it looks like, I don't know. Well, thank you so much for joining us,
absolutely.
Pastor Sean. I'm going to grab up Lady Tamika and see what she's got to say about this madness going on. We'll be back to talk about some other stuff today. Hold on.
Okay.
Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I'm well. How was your weekend?
Very restful, thank you.
That's good. Oh, Tamika, what are we going to do? We got the 11-month-old baby who shot up in the car because Dad felt that he was going to be the shield between him and the drug dealer when he passed over the counterfeit money to the drug dealer. Well, he got the surprise of his life because the drug dealer, Mr. Ortiz, shot the car up, hitting him in the head, the torso, and the back. And the poor baby suffered injuries as well, and unfortunately later lost his life. What goes through your head when you hear something like this?
I'm just trying to figure out why you figure that the rules apply when we're talking about drug deals. You know, if this is business, you know, I want my money. I don't want counterfeit money, and you don't get to bargain with a child in the middle of that. You know, everybody's game, unfortunately. And if they didn't get you now, they were going to get you later. You know, if they didn't get you in the car, they could have got you at home. They could have taken care of, you know, grandmama. They don't care. You know, give me my money, and we'll be done with it. You know, and why you felt that your child could have been a bargaining tool is way beyond me.
I don't know. I do not know either. You know, like you said, there are no rules that get applied in the drug game. You just do what you do, and you better hope that the transaction goes well. So I don't know what he was thinking either. Because Mr. Ortiz and very few others would have cared anything about the fact that there was a baby in the car. And clearly he didn't. So, oh, my God. Well, another stupid dad. You know, Pastor Charlene always says we can't say stupid. I'm saying stupid. When you go to a melee with your son and his, you know, gang, and approach the people, the young girls when she's with her family. They approached this young lady while she was with a group of her family members. And so, in other words, you went to her hood. You went to her hood with your dad, with your girlfriend, and a whole bunch of other people. And when the melee started, you then stab her in the back twice, and then y'all flee. And they're like, no, we don't want just the son. We don't want just the girlfriend. We want the father, too. Get him locked up because he was the one who was standing by and helping him do what he did. Should the father be charged?
Absolutely. It's one thing to say, oh, I didn't know, but you were there. You know, it's one thing for your child to leave home, do things. You know, we understand that. You know, you do that. But you were standing right there, you know, and you had the driving force to stop your child, to stop the calamity. You stood by and pretended as though, you know, oh, I'll just turn my back while this whole thing happens. No, you're responsible as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is, you know, they're bringing up the fact that, you know what, this was a hate crime. This, because they were yelling quite a few racial slurs and things, and they're like, listen, he's only 16. He had to be taught that hate from somebody. So since his father was standing by, you know, there's nothing that he did not approve of when he stood there and heard all of this going on. So do you agree that, you know, he should also be charged because the racial stuff was taught by the father?
Yeah. Most of the time when we find situations like that, it usually is from the parents. And if you're not willing to stop it and you're willing to, you know, stand by, you know, you actually went. It wasn't like she came to your neighborhood. You willingly went to her neighborhood, which, you know, kind of confirmed, hey, you know, you condoned all of this foolishness. Now you want to pretend, you want to backpedal and say, oh, no, it wasn't me. You definitely should take the blame just like everybody else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I was reading the article, Tamika, and they said that, you know, one side said, well, we can't charge the dad because there's no law that says that because he was standing there, he's culpable as well. So that's what's really inciting this family, because they're like, we don't care nothing about no law. He stood there. He helped it happen. So he should be looked at as an accomplice. So they don't care nothing about no rules and laws that don't include this here behavior. Oh, my goodness. Let's talk about the mom. Let's talk about the mom who called the school because her children did not have a large enough portion of food. And she gonna threaten to blow up the school.
I'm just sighing, like, you know, as far as we've come, you know, you just took us back. You just not thinking, you know, this is the way that you handle things. So then that means that every time that there's an issue, that every time there's a situation, you spaz out and you felt like saying you're going to bomb the school is going to resolve something in an area where, you know, you can't do it at the airport. They'll lock you up immediately. What made you think that a school would be any different? You know, the sad part, you know, and I've been enlightened a lot about a lot of school things, thanks to Brother Al. But, you know, a lot of people get away with a whole lot of stuff. They get get away with saying a lot of stuff and doing a lot of stuff. I'm actually glad that, you know, you can't say that, you know, that you actually went and got incarcerated for what you say, because there are ways to do that. You could have gotten a rally. You could have gotten a petition with other parents if you felt like your children, ask around, you know, do you feel like your children are getting enough You know, is it just one tablespoon and you got to move on? What is it that's going on? Try and get something going with the school. You don't just outright say, oh, I'm going to bomb the school and that resolves your issue. You still have an issue. First of all, now you're incarcerated and your child still isn't getting any more than what they got before.
Yep.
So now what did all that do?
Yeah, and that's what I thought. I thought, now you locked up. So how are you fighting for your kid now? How do you pick and choose what you fight for now? Because now you're useless. You're behind bars for something so stupid and thoughtless. And now, again, like Pastor Sharlin said, what are we showing the kids? Well, you already know the child is kind of off the beaten path because, you know, he was already arguing about the portion of the food. Who's going to argue about a portion of food when you always go home and eat? So something is not right that you would even argue, and then I'm going to pick up your argument, Tamika, and call the school, you know, again. You know, people think that they can say whatever they want to say and there's not going to be any repercussion. Well, you had to learn the hard way. There is definitely
some repercussion.
Well,
also, is this one of those schools where, you know, in our school, if you ate such and such and you were, you know, you didn't feel like you were content enough, you went back in line. So you
absolutely
could go back in the line and get whatever. You know, what is it? That's why I said, is it one little teaspoon and move on, you know, or can you go back in the line? What was so severe if you were that hungry that caused that much calamity that you caused an issue by saying you're going to blow the school up?
Yep. Well, she got to shop all her life because now she in jail. So go ahead and blow the jail up. Let's take care of that. Woo. Thank you. Thank you, Tamika, for joining us this morning. We're going to come back to our main topic, and we're going to talk to Shantice because from what I understand, there's some comments from the listeners. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. What you got for us?
Okay, a listener sent in regarding the story of the drug deal going wrong. Listener sent in, he took the child home because he couldn't explain the nonsense of what he did or even tell them I was on a drug buy, knowing he would go to jail for child negligence and buying drugs.
Oh, yeah, I agree 100%. I figured that he drove the kid home, you know, and probably said that, you know, hey, I was driving and they shot up the car. I agree 100%, listener. He didn't tell that story that he went on the drug buy. That's why he went home, you know. But unfortunately, it cost the child his life, and now it came out that you were on a drug buy. So what did you get around? It ended up coming back anyway.
Right.
So what's your thought on that story, Shanti?
I agree with you and Lady Tamika. I don't know what made you think that by you taking anything or anyone that was supposed to shield you, especially when you went, I don't understand. You went there trifling. You went there with fake money. So already you went there with the intentions on knowing that this could go wrong. You know, it's bad enough if you thought you were going to make it a legitimate illegal, which is still slow. I'm going to make this legitimate illegal buy. So nothing should go wrong. But I'm just going to take a gun to protect myself just in case. But you went there being shady. And you thought by taking a child, regardless of whose child it was, you thought by taking a child that was supposed to shield you from you knowing you were going there to steal. So that's no different than you strapping this baby on as a bulletproof vest and you going to rob a trap house. Like, that's no different. I don't know what he was on. He was on something to even think that this was some kind of plan. And it's just I don't know what people be thinking. That just doesn't make any sense to me. Already, it's do this, you know, when it's like, okay, I'm going to take this real money to buy these real drugs. That's already risky in itself. But now I'm strategically, you know, in your mind, strategically taking this monopoly money to go buy these real drugs. And I think that there's a chance I'm going to walk up out of here. I don't know. He was high on something.
You know, the fact that you would even take a child to a drug bar.
Right.
It's just too much. It's just too much. You would take a child to a drug bar, 11 months old to a drug bar. Like you said, even if you had legit, everything was legit. 11 month old baby.
Oh, my goodness. So the baby had the baby
been
open the door and going
to
nothing. I didn't know the baby was that young. Jesus.
Yeah, 11 month old baby. You actually took the baby to the drug bar. I mean, that really was thoughtless to begin with. So that's one of the reasons why he's going to be charged, because you took the baby to the drug bar. And now when they feel that it's for an ulterior motive for taking the baby to a drug bar, that's why he's getting smashed with, you know, the endangering the welfare of a child and all this kind of stuff, because you can't get around that now. You messed up. You really messed up. I'll give you an opportunity to comment on any one of the other stories that you want to. You've got the kid with the father standing there, and he stabs the girl in the back twice. Or you have the mom who threatened to blow up the school. She's going to blow that bad boy up.
Before I comment really quick, Pastor Steph, another comment just came in actually on that last story you said about the mom threatening to blow the school up. And a listener sent in, her son is the star of the basketball team, so I guess in her mind, he should get all the food that he needs. And like Pastor Beard said, her nails, her pampering is now being interfered with.
I don't know. It might be. No, Shanti's a couple of people are saying it, you know, tapping into her pocket. Feed this kid so I can go get what I want done, not buy more food. I don't know, y'all. Y'all might be on to something. Thank you, listener.
Yeah, the story with the stabbing, you know what your child's getting ready to do. You know, even if you didn't think, he was going to stab, you knew that something was going to happen. And for you to just stand there, you deserve to go to jail and be charged as if you were the one who did the actual stabbing. You did nothing to prevent this from happening. You didn't try to do anything to prevent them even being in the same, you know, vicinity. Like, how did they end up even getting this close if you were there? So what's the point in, you know, okay, a parent is there, so we don't have to worry about nothing. Now we can't even go by that anymore. Okay, well, so those parents are there, so we don't have to worry about anything happening. Or, oh, Ma, can I go here? Who's going? So-and-so's father. Oh, okay, so-and-so's father's going to be there. Now, that doesn't even matter now. Because now the parents will just sit there and just watch this stuff happen. So now it puts into question, did you tell him to go do this? Because I can see myself watching this getting ready to happen, and I do nothing unless I said sick him. So you probably
maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, you probably gave the call. You probably put the hit out on the girl, and the son was the hitman. And that's why you ain't do nothing, because I can't see how you just stand by and just allow this to happen. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I got another question for you. Do you believe that they should be, that the father should be charged with some type of racial thing, because they said that he taught the child to be racist? The child had to learn this from somewhere. And if the father came there and was standing by, that he should be charged as well. Do you think they should add that type of charge on as well?
I would charge him with everything. If the son's shoe was untied, I'd charge with that, because if his shoes was tied, he probably wouldn't have tripped and got that close to my daughter, the staff. I'd charge him with everything. Everything, yes. Yes, because, again, like we see, these kids learn hate. They're not born like this. Even if you're born with some type of little dysfunction, you're not born with that level of hate that is taught to you. And it would explain you just standing there and not doing nothing. What parent, I mean, even when you think about the parents, you know, especially growing up in the hood, you know, you see the parents who, if their child was being bullied and they finally took their kid into standing up for themselves, you know, okay, listen, this is the eighth time that it came to me and said that Nick done slapped you. Now we going to Nick. I'm coming up to the school. We going up to Nick, and you get ready to fight Nick. You know, and they stand there and they watch the fight happen to make sure it's a one-on-one, make sure their child doesn't get jumped or none of their child's friends jump in, you know, all that. You know what's about to happen. You know, you coach your kids into this. I would charge that father with everything. If the son was too bright, I'd figure out a way to charge him with that. Maybe if the glare wasn't in his son's eye, he would have realized what was going on. I'd charge him with everything. Yes, absolutely.
All righty. Well, thank you so much for relaying the comments of the listeners and giving your 2 cents. And we'll be back to talk to you later with our switch tip. Thank you.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, we've got our conversation of the morning coming up, and we're talking about rules to be a good teammate in your relationship. Okay? So we're going to see what our panel has to say about that. So they're saying no one should hear anything bad about your spouse from you, from your partner, about your partner from you. What do you think, Pastor Charlene?
Absolutely. You should not allow anyone to talk about your spouse. And you shouldn't say anything about them as well. The right way to do it. But I do understand that when people get upset that they vent. But it can bring in some division between you and that person. So you have to be very careful of what you say, because it can come back to bite you in the butt.
Okay. Tamika, you know, they say you have no business letting anyone hear anything bad about your partner from you.
Oh, that's definitely true. You know, on the other end of what Pastor Charlene had said, you also do open up the avenue for someone who, you know, may be interested in your mate. You know, oh, he does something. It can't be that bad. Let me try myself, you know. And because you're the one displaying or verbalizing the bad issues with your mate, you know, it opens up doors for, you know, people to pry in, for people to cause you to disagree even more, you know, to argue. It causes all kinds of havoc that you may not necessarily, you might have just been verbalizing or blowing off steam, but it also opens up an avenue for the enemy to get in.
All right. You know, we're talking about ways to make sure that you're a good teammate with your partner. And they say, try new things together. Pastor Charlene, try new things together. Is that a good idea to make sure you're a good teammate?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes, because it might be some things that I like to do that he might never experience, or vice versa. So it's good, or something that you might, just, you know, that neither one of you have done. And it makes it fun because it's a new experience that y'all have done together. You know, they're done together. Okay. So I can say yes to a limit, see, because that can open up another kind of can, too. So I'm going to say to a limit.
No, okay, okay, okay. Tamika, try new things together.
I'd automatically say yes, because you never know what doorways are open. You know, you're enlightened to something that you never tried before. It might be something, you know, an outing that now you realize you actually do like the outdoors, or, you know, maybe you prefer doing something, you know, something that you never tried before, axe throwing, riding a horse, you know, doom buggy, you know, all types of stuff. You know, for some people it may be a way to advise, you know, open them up to something else, but it might also let you know what you don't like, what you're not adverse to, something that you realize, okay, you know, I tried it and I didn't like it, you know, and you agree to disagree.
All right. They say be each other's champion to encourage the other. Pastor Sharlene?
Absolutely. You should be their first cheerleader to encourage and to be able to help any kind of way that you can. So where that is a bond that you are able to bring together. And with that, if nobody else don't, you know, celebrate, you should always celebrate your spouse, partner.
Okay. Tamika, what about be one another's champion, celebrate wins, and encourage one another?
When all the world is acting crazy, sometimes you just need to hear that one voice. That one voice that confirms I can make it, that one voice that can help me push. You know, you understand that you're always prayerful, but every now and then it's nice to have someone right beside you that says, you know, hey, you know, you did a such and such and such, and maybe you might not have gotten to the top of the mountain, but the fact that you made a couple of steps is a great progress, you know, and progress, even if it's not a big thing, you know, it's a step, and sometimes just to be able to hear that gives you a greater push. So I would definitely confirm that.
Okay. Well, we got Brother Al is joining us right now. Let's see what he has to say. Good morning, Brother Al. Okay. Maybe Brother Al is not prepared for us right now. All right. Pastor Sharlene. We're talking about being grateful for one another, for that other one's contribution. What do you think?
I would say yes. Okay, let me give me an example, because I want to make sure that I'm thinking the same thing when you say that. What do you mean?
Be grateful for each other's contributions?
This period?
Yeah, well, when someone brings something to the table, you know, bring an idea to the table, you know, how are you responding? Are you killing that idea, or are you, you know, amped to see what's going on with it? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in general. Yes. I think that it's a good thing because when you bring stuff, as you said, to the table, you know, you're able to see some kind of ways that y'all can work it together, because there's some things sometimes that you can bring that person is going to be like, no, I'm just not going to do that. So I think that, yeah, you should at least try it and see where does it go from there.
Okay. Tamika, be grateful for one another's contribution.
I think that also comes with not always anticipating. It's nice. Thank you so much for what you did. Thank you so much for your advice. Thank you so much for doing such and such. It matters, you know. And not always to just assume that that person's going to come through, because you never know, you know. That could be taken away from you because you never appreciate it. I'm always one to say thank you because, you know, you didn't have to do such and such. It could be something small, as bringing me a glass of water. I had just said to myself, wow, I'm thirsty. I'm going to get up and get some water. And just off the spur of the moment, you decided to do so. You know, doesn't necessarily, don't take that for granted, because it could be removed from you.
Okay. What about over-communicating? Just make sure you get everything out. I need to be a good teammate. I need to make sure that you understand what I'm talking about. I'm not going to assume that you know what I mean or you know what I feel, or, you know, I'm going to make sure that no matter what, you get it. What do you think about that, Pastor Charlene?
Absolutely. You know I'm a talker. Because sometimes, you know, you might think one way. Just an example, just like what I just did. Sometimes you could think one way and it can mean to another person something totally different. So I think that you should be able to make sure that that person understands. You understand what I'm saying? You know, can you do it like this? This is what I'm asking you to do. Because sometimes, you know, you could just say, example, can you do, let's say laundry. Example, and you say, can you do the laundry? And if you don't say do the laundry, okay, so come with laundry comes with, you know, folding up the clothes, put the clothes away. And sometimes, you know, they just say, well, you just said do it. I did it, and here it is, you know. So sometimes for a clear understanding, it's a way that the other person understand what you're asking them to do, goes a little further.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. So that's ensuring that we are good teammates. What about you, Tamika? You know, making sure you get everything out. Do you think sometimes that could be a little overkill?
I honestly don't, because a lot of times we have a tendency to, oh, well, you knew what I meant. You just because I said such and such didn't mean that, you know, oh, you're supposed to know. No, that's not necessarily true, because there's all kinds of misunderstandings can happen just in everyday conversation. Sometimes you're so eager trying to get something out that you blurt out a portion of it, assuming that the other individual understood what you said, and not necessarily. You know, I'll give you a prime example. You know, I might be in a conversation with someone who, you know, has, like, for instance, you know, you have a bunch of friends and they're all named Sean. And I'm thinking you're talking about one particular Sean. You're actually talking about another Sean. So when I go talk to the wrong Sean, you know, I've caused an issue because the issue transpired because you weren't specific. I think it's important to be specific, because there's all types of misunderstandings that can happen just based on you thinking that, oh, well, you should know. Oh, you should understand. Oh, well, you should know how I felt. Or when I said such and such, you should understand what I meant by it. I didn't mean such and such, but what I said was such and such. And it causes a lot of misunderstandings and a lot of miscommunication.
Okay. All right. Let's see if Brother Al is going to join us now. Good morning, Brother Al.
Good morning. How are you? Sorry about that. Been a little busy. First day back is a little busy.
It's okay. We definitely understand. That, Brother Al, we're talking about being a teammate, being the best teammate in your relationship. And one of the things we're talking about, and this is big for you, as we've talked about this before, over-communicating. Do you think that over-communicating could be an overkill to show that you're a good teammate?
I believe so. You know, I mean, you don't have to tell every single detail by detail. You know, and I think it also become a little nerve-wracking. It's like, okay, here we go. You're going to tell me you bought the shoes. The shoes were black. Then you got a pair of black shoe strings to go with the shoes. Then you tie them up. You know, I think it's a little too much. You don't have to go detail by detail. I think that's I think that's too much. I think that is overkill.
Okay, okay. Well, we're talking about being a good teammate in the relationship. And one of the things we're talking about, trust and respect each other in front of other people. How vital is that, Tamika?
So important. I have seen situations where I try and figure out, like, are you guys really in a relationship? Because, like, you destroy, you know, your person's character. Like, you're the assassin, you know, and it's like, how is your relationship blossoming when you're the one who day after day or however many times we're out is the first person to destroy your relationship, you know, verbally, and then you're trying to figure out why things don't maintain, because what you do and say with your mouth can really destroy, you know, the characteristic, or now the person just decides, well, I don't want to do such and such, and you're trying to figure out why.
All righty, all righty. Brother Al, you know, they say trust and respect one another in front of other people, but especially in front of your children.
Oh yeah, most definitely you got to respect each other in front of each other. You know, if you don't do that in front of the kids, because how do you expect the kids to respect the other spouse if you're not showing the respect yourself? You know, so that's definitely very important.
Okay. Pastor Charlene, trust and respect each other in front of other people.
Yes, you should do that, absolutely, because it does leave room for other people think that they can disrespect as well. Because if she can do it or he can do it, then the children feel that they can do it as well. And so when you are in front of folks, that you should watch what you say and how you react. Absolutely.
Okay, okay. Well, we've talked about before, but, you know, we got people that listen new all the time. Compromising, you know, it shows when you're a good teammate, when you compromise. It doesn't always have to be your way, they're saying. What's your word, Brother Al?
Yeah, compromise is good. You know, like I said, it ain't got to be your way all the time. You should try something new. You might say, okay, you know what, that actually worked better than what I thought of. You know, so I agree with that.
Okay. Pastor Charlene.
Absolutely. Compromising. You know, you did a great job. I thank you. Or you look nice. Yes, you should always, because that'll build them up as well as you, you know, because you walk together. So therefore that everybody will be happy.
Okay. Okay. Tamika, what's your word on compromising in a relationship?
It keeps you from always having to bear the weight of whatever it is, you know. It also allows the other individual to take the reins from time to time, you know. So I'll do dishes this time, you do the dishes next time, you know. It's just a wonderful thing to do, you know, so that there's not full responsibility on one side. Everybody has it.
Okay, okay. I actually like this one here, Pastor Charlene. They say, don't allow negative self-talk. You know, when a person is downing themselves and, you know, you're hearing this or you're watching this, you know, you need to encourage, you know, your partner to not, you know, be so down on themselves. Do you think that's showing being a good teammate?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because it goes back to a few of those, just like when I was saying about being the cheerleader, you know, you have to be able to lift that person up when they're weak. And then when your turn comes, you know, because everybody gets a turn. Everybody is not on, you know, upbeat all the time.
And you have to be able to be there for that person to, you know, push them forward. You can do it. You know, don't feel down about yourself. Don't feel this kind of way, you know, and be able to encourage them, you know, in any kind of way that is possible, you know, because when we allow the enemy to come in our ear, you know, and then we'll draw back. And you have to always notice that when you're with your partner, you know, something ain't right, you know, so where you're able to try to pull them through it before they go through it.
Okay, okay. Tamika, what are we talking about here? Not allowing your partner to have negative self-talk. What does that have to do with you? Why should you infuse that into your relationship?
There are some areas, you know, that we all have, you know, whereas we think to ourselves and we acknowledge that we might have fallen short of whatever the situation is. It's one thing to have a little bit of that concern, because we all have it, whether we choose to acknowledge it or not. But it's another thing when you're at the point whereas every little step you need me for. You have to be very, very careful, especially in the mates that you choose, that they're not in that degree, because if you're too low, there's no way that I can pull you up. But if you're at the right degree, then at that moment I can encourage you as my mate so that, you know, I can give you that extra push. Listen, you can do this. This is not beyond you. This is not beneath you. It's not unattainable. You can acquire it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
All right, all right. Brother Al, you know, they say it showed that you're a good teammate by not allowing your partner to have negative self-talk.
Oh, yeah, that's 100% correct. You know, I hate negativity from the start, so that going to bother me from the beginning. But, yeah, you know, you want to encourage that person, you know, encourage them. You know, pray with that person. Hey, listen, everything going to be all right. Just keep pushing. Keep doing that. Get that support. That means so much. Definitely means a lot.
All right, all right. Well, we're talking about notice one another's moods and energies. How important is that as being a good teammate, Tamika?
It's funny that you should mention that, because I had a issue recently, whereas it was my mood that dipped. It was something that I was going through, and I was just kind of, you know, keeping it to myself. And, you know, Al noticed it, you know, and he was like, well, what's the matter? You know, what is it, you know? And it helped me, you know, get out of the funk that I was in. And, you know, it also opened up a greater line of communication when it was vital, you know. Hey, what's going on? How you feeling? What, you know, can I help you with this, you know? And he was very calm and understanding, and I was grateful and appreciative, because you noticed, you cared enough to pay attention and recognize, okay, you know what, something's off, you know. And when you're paying attention, you're sensitive to, you know, oh, well, she didn't do such and such and such. It's not that I'm mad. And it, you know, he didn't take it personally. He recognized, okay, there's an issue. Let's see how we can work to make it better. And it does help in the current relationship, because it helps us to communicate, even in areas or times when we think that, you know, it's not important. It is. It's vital.
Okay, okay. What say you, Brother Al? Is it good to notice another's moods and energies?
Oh, yeah, yeah. When you got that connection, you'll notice that. You know, I noticed that my relationship is something going a certain way. I could sit back and I'm like, okay, something bothering you today because you're not yourself. You know, and that shows the person, too, that you're being, you know, attentive to them. You know them. You're watching their moves. You're watching what's going on. So, yeah, that's good to do.
All right. And Pastor Charlene.
Absolutely, because that shows that you are paying attention to that person, that you are able to, even if they don't say anything, or even if they say, oh, no, I'm good, you already know. and you should be able to know when they have, sometimes, you know, you just need that moment as well of just, I just need you to be here, but I don't want to talk yet, you know, so you should know those times as well. But be that ear, you know, be, you know, very sensitive towards them and being to be understanding even when they don't want to discuss it right now or, you know, when the time is right. The Lord will show you when the time is right to come to them and be able to express, you know, but be that, have that shoulder for them when that time comes.
Okay. How about letting little things go? Brother Al, is that showing that you're a good teammate?
I would say yeah. You know, some things are small. You can just say, you know what? All right, I'm gonna let you roll on that one this time. You know, so I think, yeah, you know, let the small things go. Sometimes people get mad about every least little thing, you know. And, no, let it go, you know.
Okay. Pastor Charlotte, are you letting those little things go, showing that you're a good teammate?
Well, I'm a little on both ends of that because what might be little to me might not be little to you or vice versa. So it really depending on what you're calling little, but I will say that we can meet in the middle because of discussion, because sometimes, you know, when you have experienced some things and that could be a target for you, as we call it, the red flag for you. But if you have a better understanding of what that little thing is, you know, don't despise and let that just go by. You know, have an understanding of why they feel the way that they do. So that's why I'm in the middle of that.
Okay. Tamika, let the little things go. Good teammate, bad teammate.
I think you pick and choose your battle. And when I say pick and choose your battle, there are greater things to disagree on. You're never going to see completely eye to eye. And so I'm more inclined to let the little things go. You know, you 5 or 6 years later, you're still harboring, you know, something in your heart that you never released. And it really wasn't that big of an issue, but now you're still harboring it in your heart. And it doesn't free you as you would like to be freed because you're still holding on to it. So I would definitely say, you know, let it go.
Okay. Oh, boy. You respect each other's time. Good teammate, Pastor Charlotte.
You respect each other's time. Am I correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure. Yes. Because it might be time when you need just to be alone. You know, sometimes you just need that breather. You know, and then there'll be times when you want to come together, or that time when it's family time. So I would say yes, respect that person's time of what, you know, once again, meeting in the middle, because your time might not be my time, and I might need that moment. So, yes.
Okay. Tamika.
Yeah, it's important to value each other's time. You know, sometimes we're, let's just say there's a given time where you have something else that you have to do. You know, I can't just ask you to stop what you're doing to handle this particular situation. We have to value each other's time. Maybe this is the time where we need to be separated, or maybe this is a time that, you know, we can come together, you know, because you're not doing anything, I'm not doing anything. And, you know, we can utilize that time for fun time, or, you know, you need help with something, and it has a certain time frame. I can't ask you to always be on my side and stop what you're doing because I need something at this time. You know, value each other's time. Understand that, you know, every hour of the day is not always your time.
All right. Brother Al, you have the final word today. What say you on respecting each other's time, indicating that you're a good teammate in the relationship?
Man, forget that. Your time is my time, and my time is my time. No, I'm just playing. but no, that's a good thing to respect each other's time. Like you said, we all need that time, but be flexible. I might be having my time, and you may be going through a crisis, and I need to come and help you out. I need to come and console you. So we have to be, flexible with that as well. But yes, definitely value the person's time. This person might say, listen, I'm writing a sermon. I need this time with God, or I need to write this. So, yes, it's definitely good to respect people's time. People's time is valuable.
All right. Good stuff. Thank you, my due time crew, for helping us understand what it is to be a good teammate in a relationship. I pray you have a blessed day.
You all do the same as well.
You too.
Thank you. All right. Oh, you know what time it is. It's the top of the hour on a Monday morning. It's time to get our switch tip with Shantice. Let's say good morning again. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning.
Oh, what you got for us today? Switch tip number 101. Oh, we're on the side of 100 now.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I got the switch with Shantice, so we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. Luke 14:26-27, New King James Version. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke 9:23-26, New King James Version. Then he, Jesus, said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? Then I pulled that same verse up. So I'm sorry. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. And I pulled that last verse 26 up in the Message Version. I like the way it's worded in that version. If any of you is embarrassed with me and the way I'm leading you, know that the Son of Man will be far more embarrassed with you when he arrives, all his splendor in company with the Father and the Holy Angel. So with the Message Version, it uses the word embarrassed instead of ashamed, and it says the way I'm seeing. So that really stood out to me. So I'll put the Message Version. I'm sorry. Got kind of caught up on those versions. Like, I didn't just read it before Pastor Steph pulled me up. So our switch tip 101 is let Jesus separate you from you. And I've read these verses a few times before, and when I was studying the other night and I was referenced to these verses, I went in my hard copy Bible and saw that these verses were already highlighted. So it stood out to me back when I highlighted them, but when I reread it the other night, it stood out to me in a whole other way for a whole other reason. And God has really been dealing with me heavy, and I believe it's because of what he put on my heart to ask him for in prayer, which is, God, please reveal to me everything that's lying dormant that is still helping to distract me. There's still a lot going on with me that I can't explain, that I don't understand, so I can't expect anyone else to understand it, even if I try to explain it. But, of course, you know what's going on with me. And when we read the verses with Jesus saying, listen, you need to hate your father and your mother and your wife and your children, your brothers and sisters for my sake. We understand that he's not saying literally hate them, because if he's saying that love supersedes any and everything, then that same God is not going to tell us to hate our brother. He wants to make sure that we go and take care of things with our brother before we even try to come to him. What Jesus is saying is we need to make sure that our loyalty is to him and God first. Before we try to love ourselves and before we try to get all hung up on ourselves and the things we like and the things that we quote-unquote love about us, we need to make sure that we're loving him first, because it helps to set the tone in how we love ourselves and how we love the people around us and what we love, the components about ourselves that we love. And one of the main things that really stood out to me with this is, okay, you know, you talk about Jesus came to bring division. Jesus came not to bring peace but a sword, because he came to separate the weak from the tear. He came to separate the strong from the weak. He came to separate us from the things that are not good for us. So he needs to stand in between you and that person, place, or thing that is going to help hinder your relationship with him. But when I read these verses the other night, what really stood out to me is Jesus is trying to separate me from me. He's trying to separate the old, toxic, sticking ahead, twisted Shantice from the real, glorious Shantice that the Father has created me to be. And when I got that, I was like, whoa. Because, again, it's, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is destroyed or lost? And that made me think about everything that I was still trying to hold on, even up until the other night when I read this. What is it that you're still trying to hold on to, Shanti, and could not realize it, that you're still trying to hold on to? What relationships? What is it? So I made a quick list, right, real quick. God's teaching me to be real with him in my life. But the lifestyle that I'm still trying to hold on to that involves covetousness, that involves selfish ambition and self-seeking and attention, and you know, you're still talking about what's still linked to things, old habits that I had, the sex and the this and the drinking and all of that. Those are just the habits. But one of the underlying things that is that you're still trying to hold on to that, again, you're not realizing that you're holding on to, but that is still serving as a distraction, that's still feeding a lot of the decisions that you're still making. You know, when he deals with the blatant thing, you think that the job is over, that his job is over. No, because the God that loves us, he doesn't deal with just the surface things. He goes deep because he needs to make sure that all of that is gone, especially when he's putting it on your heart to want more in him. All of that has to be gone from the root. So it's now time for him to separate you from you. And this whole, if you embarrassed with me, then I'm going to be embarrassed with you when God sends me. I'm not trying to play with that, because when you really understand how Jesus serves as our spokesperson, when we make the small mistakes, when we make the big mistakes, and he's still up there like, God, I know we just told them this 5 minutes ago, but just give them another chance. I'm still willing to put myself out there for him or her. Jesus is going to make sure that he has our back. Matthew 10:32, New King James Version, Jesus says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. And I pulled that up in the Message Version too, because the words in that version really stood out to me from when I first read it, I believe last year. Stand up for me against world opinion, and I'll stand up for you before my Father in heaven. And that says so much to me, because the way that I'm used to moving, of course, is the way the streets has taught me to move. There's nothing wrong with still wanting to do this, Shanti. There's nothing wrong with still thinking this, Shanti. There's nothing wrong with still holding on to that, Shanti. You know how many times I've had someone say to me, even people who are supposed to be people of God, say to me, well, listen, you got to do whatever you got to do to keep your sanity. And I'm like, Well, I'm glad God is teaching me discernment, because that don't even sound right. Yes, I do need to make sure that I have a peace of mind, but a lot of what God needs us to do and leads us to do doesn't always make sense to us. Why? Because we're living in a world that is trying to have us follow the exact opposite. So while you're here trying to tell me I need to do whatever I need to do to keep my sanity, no. Because anytime I go against what Jesus is telling me to do, I'm showing him that I'm embarrassed with the way that he's leading me. Do I really want to play that game? Because when God sends Jesus back, it's Jesus who is going to judge who's going to be caught up in the air with him and who's going to be left here. and who's going to be on the right and the left. And again, I keep telling you, I ain't trying to be on the left. So you have to make sure that you're understanding that the division isn't only between you and your mother, you and your father, you and the person sitting next to you in church, you and your boss, you and your coworker, you and that man you ain't supposed to be with, you and that woman. No, it's also with you and yourself, the person that you're trying to hold on to and the person who God has created you to be. So I want everyone to think about what part of you are you trying to save. You need to be willing to let go of everything. You know what, God? Forget what I think. Forget what I'm trying to make sense out of. Forget, you know, okay, well, God would want me to keep this, or why would you want me to keep this, God? Forget all that. Wipe all of that. Completely surrender your thoughts, your mind, your logic to God. And allow Jesus to show you the life that God really has for you, the life that Jesus is trying to give to you, so that you can understand the way you need to move, the way you need to think. And the more you try to hold on to you, you're trying to hold on to everything that he doesn't want for you, which is now going to help you move further and further away from the real glory issue. So you have to make sure that you're making the conscious decision to let go of you, because the you that he is trying to get you to hold on to is going to take some work and energy. So that same energy you're putting into keeping, because listen, as dysfunctional and toxic as our lives and our days can be, we're content with that a lot of the times. We're comfortable with that. It's time to let that go. And it's time to learn to be content with the life that God has for you. So let's make sure that we're making the switch from holding on to the old us and making sure that we're allowing Jesus to make that division and letting him separate you from you. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shantice. Wow, that's big. Let God separate you from you. Amen. Thank you so much for that switch tip. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you, you too.
Thank you. All right. Our benediction for today. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's Hebrews 13:20-21. A lot to be said for today. You know, let God separate you from you. It's huge. It's really huge. And it's funny because, again, it ties in to our primary conversation today, you know, about being a good teammate in a relationship. And, you know, sometimes, you know, things kind of get crossed and you know that you're right. And, you know, it doesn't allow us to compromise in a relationship. It doesn't allow us to, you know, over-communicate. Or when we over-communicate, we don't say, you know, the right things, you know. You know, it doesn't allow you to respect one another's time. You know, all of these things get in the way. You know, we get in the way of making sure that, you know, we don't try new things together. You know, because I don't want to do that. Or it's not the time for that. Or, you know, that's not where my head is right now. Or, you know, when it talks about trust and respect each other, you know, that's a tall order. Be grateful for each other's contributions. You know, appreciate one another. You know, that's, again, a tall order. You know, we really have to let Jesus separate us from us, because that's going to be the only thing that's going to help you discern what's good and bad. Because, you know, God's got to be able to step in at any given moment and make the correction, and you're willing to make the correction. And when he makes the correction, it separates you from you, because it allows that spirit, the Holy Spirit that God has given us, to operate now? You know, are you willing to operate the way God needs you to operate, or is it just about you? Are you moving the way God has given you to move? Has God separated you from his spirit? Has he extracted all of the negativity? Has he extracted all the bad habits? Has he extracted all of the bad mindsets? You know, as we get older, we get worse. We're so stuck in our own way. We don't want to budge. We hate change. And, you know, God bless the kids who are fearless and, you know, they are adjustable. Oh, that's the word I want to use, adjustable. Adjusting when, you know, when things shift. You know, oh, you know, the kids, you know, being quarantined, is this, it's the parents. It's the parents, the adults who have made these type of things intolerable for the children, you know, who have made it harder. You know, if we found something for them to do on the inside, you know, yes, you know, we're going through this moment of being isolated and, you know, we can't do the things that we used to do. We can't see the people we used to see. We can't function the way we used to function, flow the way we used to flow, you know, then if we help them along the way, it won't be so bad. So bad. But it's us. It's, you know, I don't want to do this. You know, I'm so used to doing this all my life. You know, I don't know how to change and I don't want to change. And that's disallowing God to separate you from you. Because all we're thinking about is the old way. All we're thinking about is what made us comfortable. And being comfortable sometimes is the worst thing to be. Because we don't see the blessing in the change. We don't see the blessing in something new. You know, trying something new together. You know, it's nothing wrong with that. You know, and sometimes you're going to have to operate a certain way just to see the growth in not just you, but your partner. These things take time, but you've got to be willing to start the process. You know, I don't have to tell myself, oh, okay, well, you know, let me get adjusted to it. Because when you hear something, you know my verse, my sheep hear my voice. Are you being given something from God, but you're so busy warring against God that you miss all his blessings? My sheep hear my voice. There are things that God gives you. You know, automatically you need to move on. It doesn't matter who brings it to you. You know, because we're not going to always be able to govern or dictate where the blessings come from. And they come from a place where we never thought. But allow Jesus to separate you from you. You from that nasty flesh. You from that nasty spirit. And let God take you where he wants to take you. Just let go. Just simply let go. You will not regret it. I really pray that you can move in God's direction instead of there being a tug of war. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, things that are on earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. Pastor Steph signing off. And I want to thank my Due Time crew for coming through big time for me today. And thanking you for participating in the conversation and hanging out with us. Thank you so much. Please, please. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. until tomorrow, where is left? Talk about a Tuesday church folk day. God spares our life. I love you.